Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. And we're sitting here and we're actually trying to figure out what we're going to come up with as topics. But the very first thing that I do know is folks, get your shopping done for Christmas and make sure you send your packages early. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Good. Now we have to figure out a topic.
Well, last night, President Trump gave a speech, and one of the topics was affordability. Because I don't know about anybody else, but under Biden, we had some struggles. Just with the price of everything going up, the price of gasoline going up. When we went north to visit kids and grandkids, the price of the trip changed drastically in terms of gasoline. And gasoline, I don't know, what is it, $2.59 a gallon now?
$2.53 at Go Gas.
Okay. And under Biden, we had gone up to $3.50, I think, at least.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things to consider when we're talking about affordability. And if we want to think back to just basic economics of supply and demand, and why the cost of things have gone up, housing being the one that everybody's really talking about. Well, there's been a housing shortage. There's been a housing shortage because we've had a huge increase in population in specific areas. And why in specific areas? I would say immigration.
Illegal.
Unfettered illegal immigration. So it's created a housing shortage. It's also created a premium on rents. And as far as the cost, say the cost of eggs went up. Well, I don't know how that was anybody's fault, being that a large part of that was the avian flu and they were killing the flocks of the birds because of disease. So there are some things that you can tie to basic economics, but some things are beyond anybody's control.
Well, also the price of gasoline impacts everything.
Yeah, well, people need to understand, and I think most people do, when you have 9% inflation for a period of time, prices are high. Now we're at 3, they're getting higher at a slower rate. So you're already at a high rate because of
past inflation.
Yeah, past inflation that
it doesn't seem to go down.
It doesn't, and I don't know that we want to get to be deflationary because that busts up your economy some. So all I'm saying is, yeah, it is, and it's Biden's fault, and we're tempering it now, and we'll hopefully continue to be able to do that. But working on just not the cost, but working on the income side and the benefit side, mm-hmm. which is a big, beautiful bill, I think is a big deal.
Another thing is the fact that a lot of these things that Trump's doing take time. In other words, you just can't go in there and change, like lowering the price of diesel fuel, lowering the price of gas. Those have an impact on everything that's transported, but doesn't show up immediately. The other thing he came out with the other day related to vehicles was doing away with the mileage requirement. The Democrats had a requirement that every vehicle by 2030 had to meet 50 miles per gallon. I mean, on average, the vehicles that were manufactured by any manufacturer had to meet an average of 50 miles per gallon. That's impossible with the internal combustion engine, which would have pushed everybody to electric, which is what they wanted. He did away with that.
And that was never a law, so it was easy to get rid of
it. My point is that's not going to affect the price of vehicles immediately, but it will keep it from going up in the long run.
Yes.
And let's go back with the affordability and sustainability in our health care. When we started with Obamacare 10 years ago, it was supposed to save everybody. Well, I don't know anybody whose medical premiums have gone down. And if you look at Medicare payments, we just got our notice of what our Medicare is going up to next year. And you can't help but wonder, it's a pretty big increase, I thought, for a single year. But how many more people are collecting these benefits who, again, Pat, are illegal and shouldn't be collecting these benefits? Or how many people are going to the hospital that are illegal, that are getting care that somebody has to pay for, that we're paying for?
And what's the amount of fraud?
So here again,
well, Clay and Buck were talking about something that we raised, somebody on this table raised last week, which was public charge. Somebody said, well, we need to have a rule that if you are going to go on welfare, you can't come in the country. And I said, it's in the law. They just haven't been enforcing it. 81% of the Somalis are on welfare.
And they were specifically located to specific areas to overrun the systems.
Yes.
It's strategic.
For the voting, yes.
It is strategic. It is on purpose. It is social engineering. And until we call it what it is, we're going to continue down that path.
I want to say something about the value of our dollars. When we did the Federal Reserve course a couple of years ago, and hopefully we'll do it again, they talked about the fact that in ancient Rome, if you had a piece of gold, you could buy a toga and a pair of sandals, whatever they wore, a nice toga and sandals for your piece of gold. If you have a piece of gold today, what a piece of gold is worth today, you can probably go into a store if you put it into money and buy a nice suit and a pair of shoes and a tie and a shirt. So the problem is not that the gold has not lost its value. Our paper money has lost its value. And that is compliments of all the things that the Federal Reserve has done to us over the years.
You have to give Trump credit for the different ideas he's coming up with. Not just he alone, but the administration. Like with this Obamacare, and they have this ongoing issue with the Democrats who built in a termination of the increase that they allocated during the COVID crisis that was supposed to expire the end of December. And what my understanding is that when Obamacare was written, 20% of the money that goes, the federal money that goes into that, goes directly to the insurance companies.
It doesn't go to the people.
Right. And what I'm saying is they get that no matter what happens. They get that 20%. And Trump's coming up and saying, well, let's give the money directly to the people so that the people can make the decision about what services they want. For example, if you're in your 20s, you may not need the same insurance plan as when you're in your 60s because you're not going to be going to the doctor. You're not getting as sick as much. So you might just need a plan that's just like they used to have.
Catastrophic?
Well, you have a certain amount. You have a catastrophic amount, and you're insured. If it's up to a certain amount, you pay for it. If it's above that, then the insurance company kicks in, or you limit the flexibility. But this idea, it's one policy and one premium for everybody, regardless of age, that's not right.
And we don't know why 80-year-old men need maternity coverage.
Well, I don't understand why we're looking at creating a system where the government gives us money. Why isn't there a free market health care solution where it's just run like every other business? We buy it, we pay for it, pay for it to the provider, and the government is out
it's
of
out
it.
Of it. I agree
isn't that
with
how
that.
It was before Obamacare?
Yes.
Well, it was before Medicaid and Medicare.
Rand Paul has come up with an alternative to Obamacare. He's called it the Health Marketplace and Savings Account for All Act. And what he wants to do is to, number one, allow everyone to have a health savings account, which they can save up for emergency. But he also has a plan that people could band together across state lines and create their own group to negotiate with the insurance companies. So again, you've got much more of a free market situation than you would otherwise have.
I think one of the biggest drawbacks right now is that you can go to a doctor or you can go to a hospital and you can ask them, how much will this cost me? You have no idea what it's going to cost until you get billed 6 weeks later. That's right. They don't know.
Yeah. And if you went for the same procedure to six different hospitals, you get six different prices.
I did an article a while back in The number I'm going to give you is a Rhode Island number because that's what I know. In 1970, to have a child in the hospital, normal birth, in Rhode Island cost $600. In today's world, the number that I got when I looked it up was between $4,000 and $6,000. That is higher than the rate of inflation. But that is not inflation. That is something else in there.
Part of the reason for that, Mary, is that there's a lot of people that aren't paying at all.
Yes.
So you're paying not only for your service, you're paying for these people that aren't paying for it. And, you know, it's interesting how you could, getting back to what Pat was saying about if it was back to you buy it and you negotiate it. There was an incident that happened to me a few years ago. I went to a dentist to have a procedure done, and he gave me a quote as to what it would cost. And I went to another dentist, and he gave me a quote, because I don't have any health dental insurance, okay? And I got a quote from two different dentists. Now, I liked the first dentist better than the second dentist. So I went to the first dentist who gave me the higher cost, and I said, well, this other guy can do it for X amount of dollars less than you. And he changed his price. He lowered his price. Because I was able to negotiate with him because I was paying for it. I was motivated. But if it was coming out of dental insurance, that wouldn't have been an option for me to even bother with it.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Rush was still on the air, he had people calling in talking about the fact they were talking about an MRI or an X-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were going to pay cash, the costs for those were very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
And you could negotiate it.
Well, here again, I think the insurance companies have a lot to answer for. And when we're talking about the cost of having a child, I think a big element in why anything medically has gone up is the cost of malpractice insurance.
Yes.
And these doctors have to cover their butts.
Yeah.
And we have a friend that is an OBGYN, and 20 years ago, he told us his malpractice insurance was pushing $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 20 years ago. So, and he said that at that point, he was not self-employed. I don't know what you call it. Independent. He wasn't in the program. So he had to pay it himself. He wasn't at the hospital where the hospital, you know, covers everybody. So if you want to think about the cost here, again, the insurance companies play role.
And the fact that people sue over anything.
And I think the big thing on this is that this money goes directly to the insurance companies. People don't even know that they're insured, that are getting paid to the insurance company.
And how many times does
that's crazy.
How many times does a doctor or at least an office take a number of tests just so they have a baseline? Not that those tests are necessary, but they have a baseline. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us off to the South America.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of bring in a little update on what's going on with the leftist Democrats' attack on the Trump administration for trying to protect our country from these illegal drugs being smuggled in. You know, it's these people who are doing it have been declared to be terrorists. And as terrorists, as I understand it, these are people who we have the authority to protect our country from them by taking appropriate action, including military action. I mean, Obama did it. He killed over 500 people using drones and other forms of attack. But when that happened,
including American citizens,
women, children were killed. There was a wedding going on that was bombed, and there were women and children there, and they were killed. No complaints, nothing from the fake media or from the left. Now they had these two, supposedly, these two narco-terrorists who were on this boat that was struck, and they were in the water, and my understanding, they were trying to come back on the boat. The boat hadn't completely sunk, and there was a second attack to finish off the operation, which is a typical military thing. But the other issue to me is the fact that my understanding of the original Geneva Convention was the Geneva Convention pertained to people who are in the legitimate, authorized military of a country that you are at war with.
And you're wearing their uniform.
And you have to be in uniform. I mean, and if you were caught, in fact, during the World War II or probably mm-hmm. World War, if you were caught out of uniform, they could just shoot you.
As a spy.
Because you were not part of under the Geneva Convention. But the left's just trying to go out of this way to paint Trump as an evil person and Hegseth the same thing. And you wait, if the Democrats get back in control of the House of Representatives, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to try to impeach him. Trump. They're going to do an impeachment.
Well, the other thing that I'm aware of is that as we look at some of these videos of them taking out the gun running boats or whatever else, if a boat is on the high seas and doesn't have a flag of origin, they're considered a pirate boat. You're gone.
And these boats, they show the photos of them. Just they're loaded with these stacks of drugs.
Yep.
It's not like it's down in the cargo hold or something like that. There's these stacks of drugs on these boats, and they're zipping along.
And no fishing gear in sight.
Here's where
I feel. Four engines.
Here's where I feel about it. If they're killing our citizens, they deserve to die. Okay? That's the way I feel. I have no sympathy for the two men in the water.
It's interesting that Alan Schiff has decided to call them shipwrecked survivors. It is also interesting that the videos show that the men in the water were on their radios or phones or whatever trying to call for help and salvage their cargo. And I just wonder if a parent who lost a child to fentanyl, I have a feeling they would support blowing up the boats.
And you have to wonder here again about the government's involvement with this as far as Venezuela, because these boats originate somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're leaving a marina and nobody knows that's happening.
No, we're following them from the marina, our intelligence services.
Correct.
Right. So but we know where they're coming from.
My point is the Venezuelan government does as well.
Well, the Venezuelan government, now we've had two whistleblowers come forward in recent days about what's going on with the Venezuelan government. And there was one, the second one, who talked a lot about the intentional release of
Trende Aragua.
Being intentionally released into this country to create destabilization. And he also talked about...
Let me interrupt you. Trump used that claim as part of his grounds for going after them and deporting them.
Yes.
As terrorists.
And he also talked about the Smartmatic voting machines and the role that they played in electing Madero, and the fact that these were the machines that were also used in the U.S. voting process in 2020, that, I mean, it seems obvious to many of us, I'll put it that way, that the election of 2020 was not exactly what it should have been in terms of integrity, that certain areas were targeted and things went on that shouldn't have. And there have been two whistleblowers coming out of Venezuela that have confirmed this. Now, this second whistleblower was somebody who was high up under Hugo Chavez. And evidently, when Maduro took over, he decided that he didn't want to play anymore. He turned himself in to the U.S. and has been talking about what's been going on. And my information, just in case anybody cares, my information comes from an article that was on PJ Media, and what's today, the 10th, so it would have been on December 8th.
PJ Media, these guys sitting right in their pajamas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that what bloggers are supposed to do?
I read them every day, PJ Media.
I mean, I will tell you that there are many days when Right-Wing Granny is written and I'm dressed to go to Walmart, and we'll just leave that the way it is.
Thanks for that visual, Mary.
But so the Venezuelan, these boatloads, we don't really know whether it's fentanyl or whether it's cocaine. Or
probably both.
Probably both, but we do know that at least we consider those illegal drugs.
Yeah, well, they are illegal.
And we're trying to eliminate it on the way. Prevent it from getting to our shores.
The Democrats have to come up with a new hair on fire about every week. So we were, first it was the shutdown, and it's all the Republicans' fault. Then it was Epstein, release the files. As soon as Trump signed that bill, that went away. Then it was the Seditious Six. And now and they're like, aha, now we got them because we got this boat incident. So now the Democrats in Congress are insisting that they see the unedited video.
And they want to impeach Pete Hegseth.
They're trying to impeach Pete. They're going to withhold part of his budget until he gives them the video. And he said he'd have to study it.
And the admiral involves it. I do it every time, right?
Yeah. Well, what kind of silly rule is you can shoot them once. If you don't get them, you're out of luck.
That's right.
Well, yeah, my understanding is, when Obama was president, they went in and they killed the Osama bin Laden. They went into his house. He was in his pajamas or something. They went in and just shot him.
Right.
Well,
so they didn't take him out and give him a trial, or they didn't, allow him to have counseling from a lawyer or whatever.
Process.
It's just two different standards they want to apply. And the scary thing is, if the Democrats were in control of the House of Representatives, that's why this election coming up is so critical, they would be able to actually do some of these things that they're threatening now.
I think it was humanitarianism that caused us to have the second shot, because, these poor guys, they're out in the middle of the ocean. They would have died. They would have suffered. They'd have got sunburned or eaten by sharks. Yeah. I think it was humanitarian. They put them out of their suffering.
And President Obama droned American citizens without giving them due process.
Or without congressional notice.
Yeah, so this outrage is totally ridiculous at this point.
It's the same every time.
Trump derangement.
Yep, Trump derangement syndrome. It's really tiring.
Well, and I don't, I know that locally our sheriff, along with Asa Buck and Chris Davis, have worked very hard to keep drugs out of Carteret, Craven, and Pamlico counties. I would love to know, and I'm not in any way in a position to know, if what is happening with the boats coming out of Venezuela has had any impact on the supply of drugs coming in and the price of drugs. I mean, can we price drugs out of the market?
There was something on the news last night that was talking about the strength of the fentanyl tablets, and that what is coming in now isn't as lethal as what was coming in a year ago, whatever that means.
Means they're,
and they've made up with that because evidently the strength of the marijuana that's out there now is hundreds of times more than what was running around in the 60s, because they've hybrid it to make it more potent.
I just have to chuckle because it just reminded me of the safer bullets. Remember way back when we were supposed to have...
Jocelyn Elders.
Yeah. We were supposed to have safer bullets, so now we're going to have safer fentanyl. Just reminded me. I had to chuckle about that.
That was on Rush's TV show at the time.
Yeah.
What else are we going to add?
You want a good news item?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is just brief. Governor DeSantis down in Florida, who's doing a fantastic job, I think. And he announced the other day a program that they're implementing that would eliminate property taxes for certain groups of people.
Homestead.
They had the Homestead Act for years, but now it's going to be expanded, my understanding. And people who are permanent residents will not have to pay property tax. Because for a lot of people, you know, you buy your house and you might pay, you know, maybe years ago you paid $150,000 and now it's worth $750,000, and your property tax keeps going up. And if you don't pay it, what do? They come and they take your property.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of good news. I hope some of the other states will follow along.
To tack on to that real quick, Dustin Hall has appointed Keith Kidwell to head up a new study on property tax here in North Carolina, because the same situations, people not being able to afford.
Getting priced out of their own house.
Yeah, so that's happening here in North Carolina.
Good. Needs to be done.
We need the studies.
A lot of states give a discount if you're over 65 or if you're a veteran. They will take a couple of thousand off the value of your house. But that's not even, considering what houses are costing now, that's not even significant.
Again, somehow we've got to get some of the local spending under control, or especially as we see the way school boards sometimes have to spend. Folks, again, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're heading off to Pat. You're going to take us in another...
We're going to La La Land.
La La Land.
La La Land. There we go. I was asked to comment on the case that was being argued in front of the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. Humphrey's Executor is an old Supreme Court case that is at issue here that would keep Trump from being able to fire members of these independent agencies.
Now, that's from back in the 1930s, I believe it was.
Yeah. So he has fired Merit Protection Board, the Fed, Federal Bank.
The Labor...
Labor lady.
Yep.
FTC.
Yep. FTC. And the argument from the plaintiff side was that these are independent agencies that Congress created. And although they're in the executive branch, Trump cannot remove people from these boards because they're quasi-legislative or quasi-judicial. And Justice, I think it was Gorsuch, said, so you're telling me there's a fourth branch of government? And that set the guy on his back feet because, of course, there's no fourth branch of government.
Find that article in the Constitution.
And if they're in the executive branch, then Trump has executive authority, and that's hiring and firing.
He should quasi-fire him.
Yeah, quasi. Well, he has, right? He has. That one lady that did mortgage fraud that's on the Fed bank, she's fired but hanging in there until they decide this case. And this case is going to have a big effect. So all the progressives are quivering in their boots. So that's going to be an interesting...
Well, with this case, now, if it's in the executive branch... And they're arguing that it's not under his purview. Where else would you put it?
That's why Gorsuch said you're saying there's a fourth branch of government.
But with the social engineering that I referred to earlier, I think that is probably part of the agenda to get the political pieces in place without having these people elected, because it takes the authority away. The Congress has given that authority away to these regulatory agencies, and if they answer to nobody, they could turn the presidency just into a
figurehead.
Exactly.
But they not only gave their authority away, they gave somebody else's authority away.
Whose?
The president.
Yeah. Taking his away and putting it somewhere, right?
We don't know where.
In the fourth dimension. One of the things that I appreciate about what Trump has been doing is he's been determined to exercise the full power of the executive. And that has ruffled a lot of feathers and led to a lot of litigation, and he's going to win.
Well, I know that I talk about they a lot, that they have done, and I've always wondered, who is they? But they are the unelected unaccountables. They are the ones pulling the strings, the puppet masters, the George Soroses, the money behind the machine. Mm-hmm. If you look at the personal value of some of our elected officials in short time that they've been in office, the other day they were talking Ilhan Omar. And how much
she's
money.
Worth like $30 million now, isn't she?
Came penniless.
Right. Mm. Right. Where does that money come from? You know, these people are bought and paid for.
Well, you know, when you're talking about that, so you're looking at the elected officials in legislative that have made a lot of money. Now, if we threw them out and brought in another elected person, generally they still have the same bureaucracy working behind them. We don't really throw out the bureaucracy.
We talked in CCTA several years ago about the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes.
And the hierarchy of that, and nobody knows who is at the top of that pyramid. I think that that's really the world government's one world order. And I think that's where a lot of the
A lot of our congressmen are members of that, and
correct.
A lot of important people. Pat,
yes.
Would you say that President Trump is trying to bring us closer to the government that our founding fathers
yes.
put together?
Absolutely. Our government is based on the consent of the governed, and accountability is through elections. And if these quasi-judicial and quasi-legislative boards are not accountable to the president or to Congress, who are they accountable to? Nobody.
But when you've got judges who are interpreting what the meaning of is, you know, if everybody is open to interpretation, that's what they're doing now when they're trying to determine in the Supreme Court if Trump has the authority to end birthright citizenship. And I believe in our Constitution, it's there. But it's going to depend on how these Supreme Court justices interpret the original intent of the Constitution.
I think that
role.
Trump is very wise.
That's their role.
But I would say they've done it wrong before.
Well, then they have to overrule, just like this Humphreys executor case, they have to overrule themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that Trump is really, as you said, challenging a lot of these things that have become part of the way we do business, and it's the wrong way we've been doing business. And even though these things are going to the Supreme Court, he realizes that we have a conservative Supreme Court. So if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. For example, this business about these agencies that seem to be outside of the executive branch, that was started with Woodrow Wilson with the Federal Reserve. He took those out, and those people function. They could do whatever they want, pretty much. And the good thing is that both Justice Alito and Justice Roberts, both when they worked previously for previous administrations, before they were appointed to the Supreme Court, they actually wrote papers that were supporting this very issue. That is, that the presidents should have control over all these executive agencies, and there shouldn't be any private agencies that are independent of executive branch. So I'm real optimistic that they will get the majority they need to get this changed.
They have to be accountable too.
And it'll include the Federal Bank, the Federal Reserve, because one of those members is somebody he's tried to fire.
And we also need to keep in mind that we need our Congress people to support what Trump is trying to do, so that all of this stuff doesn't have to be through executive orders. It needs to be codified into law.
The current bill going through, I believe it's the Defense Department bill, I'm not positive.
Their budget?
Yeah, has codified a lot of his executive orders, and this is from the House of Representatives, into law. Now, whether that bill gets through the Senate is a whole other thing.
I read today some Republicans are voting no on it. So I don't know what the specifics are, but it's just more of the harassment of Pete Hegseth, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we've got a lot of rhinos who are trying to create a legacy to leave, for instance, our own Tom Tillis. He's always in the forefront of the...
Being the footnote, yeah.
He's going to leave a legacy, okay, but it's not going to be a good one, not for conservatives.
A stinky legacy. I wanted to point out that the new Democrat mayor of Miami has already given a press release about how she's going to unwire the agreements with the federal government to enforce immigration law.
And does a mayor have authority over what the governor would say?
The city of Miami has its own compact with the local sheriffs and the local police department.
But if it's federal law and the state is supposed to be...
But the ultimate elected lawkeeper is the sheriff.
And the police department.
And the police, yeah. But I mean, the sheriff is elected.
Well, the city is usually police department, and the counties are sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the county of, I guess Miami is in the county of Miami. I don't know.
Okay. In Dade
County. Because in Virginia, all cities are independent of the counties around them. Mayor has control over the police department in some instances. So if there are compacts between the police department and the feds on that, just like our sheriff has a compact that he will enforce immigration law, that she's already talking about undoing that.
I just think with politically active as Florida has been with trying to stop a lot of the illegal stuff and to help with ICE and the federal laws, I would think she's going to have a hard time doing that.
What does a city gain by refusing to cooperate with ICE? What is the advantage?
You'd have to ask a Democrat that. You protect your illegal aliens because they're part of your community and family.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what they keep telling us.
So ask Evel Knievel why he was jumping the
We're a country that's talking about costs.
They're crazy.
The cost of all this illegal activity is what's driving us down.
Well, we heard on the radio today, that 81% of the Somalians that have come into America are on welfare. Now, how does that not impact the federal government? That's some serious money you've got there.
That's right. That impacts it. The housing crisis is impacted. The strain on the health department.
Jobs.
Health care is due to it. The strain on our schools.
Having multiple language interpreters in all the school systems.
And I also read an article, someone in the construction business talking about the impact of the ICE raids, saying that as a construction worker, he was getting paid more now that they got rid of all the illegal labor.
Right.
You know, his wages are becoming a livable wage. He's getting into affordability because we're getting rid of the illegal workers.
Yeah. What was the city where ICE was going to show up and 21,000 school children?
Charlotte.
And the construction all stopped and the taco stands were all closed up.
We do need to go after the employers as well. This underground economy, you know, when these people are being paid cash, they're not paying taxes either.
No, they're not.
And the money itself is getting exported.
We need to go after the remittances.
Yeah.
Because that money is taken from our economy. It doesn't circulate and make more money. It's a net loss.
But the employers, if the employers get held accountable,
it's that, in the law.
That takes right. But that takes away the incentive for the
You have to enforce
to
the law.
Right. We have to enforce it.
Yeah, so every time I hear a politician say, "Well, as we all know, the immigration system is broken." No, it's not. You're just not enforcing it. And the part that we are enforcing that Trump's trying to enforce, you don't want enforced. So, it's not broken.
It's not broken. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said E70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at E70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at E70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If E70 Pond doesn't doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you're going to...
I just wanted to follow up something we were referring to a little while ago about Somalia and the people who have come to this country, many of which don't want to actually assimilate as Americans. They want to come here and continue to be Somalis, which, you know, I have a problem with. But one of the things that came up was there were several billions of dollars, it turns out, that were fraudulently taken from these various welfare programs. And one of them I wanted to just point out was from the autism program. Apparently there's a federal welfare program that assists parents who have autistic children. Okay, noble idea, fine, no problem with that. However, this is how they abused it. This Somali immigrant set up a company, service provider, that supposedly was going to provide services for autistic children. Now, instead of hiring authentic, qualified therapists and whatever, they hired their relatives, teenagers, members of their family, extended family, to act as these therapists. They weren't qualified. That's the first thing. Then they had to, of course, enroll children. So the way they enrolled the children is they went to other Somalis in the community, and they actually paid them $300 to $1,500 a month that if they would agree to have their child diagnosed as having autism. So they recruited the people they were going to provide services for. And the children didn't need it, okay? That wasn't true. But that's how they recruited them. But their parents got this kickback. And the payment, of course, from the federal government went directly to this agency that was set up to do this. So it was an elaborate racket. I mean, it's just like the mafia used to do, where you pay certain people to provide certain aspects of your criminal enterprise. And that particular one agency, they made millions of dollars.
Isn't that called money laundering?
Well, it's just more than money laundering. it's creating an entire racket that's just bilking. And who knows how many of these things exist in other social agencies throughout the country. I'm sure this is not the only case in which this is done.
We're finding out with Obamacare and Medicare and Medicaid that the amount of fraud in all of these programs is astounding. One of my gripes, and this is just me, we have uncovered tremendous corruption, financial corruption, political corruption, surveillance corruption. Where are the orange jumpsuits? I don't see anybody actually being held accountable. That drives me nuts. And I read something this morning that the courts are fighting the Department of Justice to to release the evidence against James Comey, and they're having trouble with the case because they can't, the courts are blocking the evidence.
The fix is in.
Yeah. Some of these people need to go to jail.
But here again, I always wonder why. And I can't help but think that the why, the answer to the why, is because if you take a powerful person down, who's he going to take down with him? Which is why I think Comey will never be accountable. Well, it's why Hillary will never be accountable for Benghazi. I just think it's the damage that they would do to others.
Well, and the deep state takes care of its own.
Well, Hillary has made the comment, if she goes down, she'll take all of Washington with her. Now, I think that's a great deal, and we should take her up on it,
yeah,
but
really.
Not everybody feels that way.
So, Pat, when you said the fix is in, what do you mean for Comey?
That he's already had one judge dismiss the case. This other judge is blocking the evidence for use by the DOJ. And so it's obvious that the deep state is coming to his defense to make sure that he's not prosecuted. It's the double-tier justice system.
I mean, Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro got sent to jail for much less. And again, we've had illegal surveillance on American citizens. Who's going to be held accountable?
The statute of limitations is run on all that.
Well, you know, they're trying in, I think it's in the House, to pass a law to pass a bill that would actually restrict the members of Congress from being able to participate in various money-making schemes through the stock market, I guess,
yeah.
Primarily.
Hakeem Jeffries is blocking that.
Where they get insider information.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these people who go into Congress, and they go in, I'm not saying they're poor, but they're not necessarily wealthy, and they come out with a lot of money. For example, this Marjorie Taylor Greene, who recently is having this conflict with Trump, was a Trump supporter, and now she's going on all these liberal talk
yeah.
shows, running Trump down and talking about various problems she had with the Congress and so on. But they reported the other day that when she entered Congress, she was worth, her net worth that she reported was $750,000. Okay, not real high, not real low. It's kind of in between. And now she's worth $25 million.
Yeah.
So it's
5 years,
it's
4 or 5 years
it's
later.
It's part of the scheme. It's part of the system.
And she also made sure that she stayed long enough to get her vested pension.
Now,
it had to be there 5 years.
Yes.
Her pension is not outrageous. What did you
It's about $8,000 a year.
Which is not an outrageous amount of money. But it's still, she's...
Yeah, for however term long she was in, Nancy Pelosi, when she retires, she'll get a little over $100,000 a year, $101,000.
But she's been there forever.
Yeah.
And it.
So, but, I mean, it's still $8,000 a year.
But I don't know where that bill's going to go. It's going to be interesting to see whether
well,
they will
Hakeem Jeffries right now is the one blocking it. He does not want Congress to not be able to trade stocks.
Oh, speaking of stupid Democrats, remember Hank Johnson?
Oh, yes, I saw that.
When it said Guam was going to tip over if there
yes.
were too many soldiers on it. he has now come out and said that America is the great Satan.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
There was...
thank you, Hank.
I don't remember what country, but one of the South American countries, every year they burn a devil effigy to ward off the evil spirits for the year. This year they also had a papier-mâché Trump with the devil.
Yeah, we've seen that before with other... I mean, I remember when they burned Nixon effigies way back when. I mean, we've seen that before.
I don't think Trump's a perfect man by any means, but I really like his policies.
I think he's trying to restore America back to what the founding fathers had in mind, and he's trying to do the things that are in America's best interests.
You know, there's so many fighting against him that are supposed to be on his side. And that's something that the people have to hold their representatives accountable for.
You know, we we look at, and not right here right now, but sometimes when you look at families or neighbors or whatever else that do an intervention into somebody with either a drug problem or a drug or drinking problem or whatever else, Trump is there trying to intervene on our spending problem. And nobody likes that.
Mm-mm.
Nobody likes it when you take that credit card away.
Stephen Miller's wife runs a podcast. I think her name is Stephanie. She was on Clay and Buck this afternoon. They were asking about her podcast interview with Elon Musk. And he said he's sorry he did Doge, that it took too much of his attention, too much of his time, had too much of a negative impact on his businesses.
And what was the result of that?
He got a $1 trillion pay package.
But what I'm saying, he did Doge. He found the corruption. He found the waste. Have we seen anything done about that?
Well,
there's been some cuts.
BC that ran him out of business, ran him out of town, rather.
Yeah, there's been cuts, some cuts by the Trump administration based on what they found. They haven't done as much as they probably could have. But again, you know, how much can you do in 10 months?
Is it still going on just with a different leadership? Is Doge still happening?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's my understanding.
I believe he's...
But again, until it's codified in law, not executive orders, until
it's... $9,000 was codified in the big, beautiful bill.
Mm-hmm.
$9,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, we really do need to... It's like teenagers with a credit card.
Well, here again, I'm going to say the dirty word, term limits.
But term limits won't impact the staffs unless you term limit the bureaucrats as well as the politicians. You're not going to accomplish anything.
When you mention term limits, would we do better to eliminate retirement plans for their staff as well as the legislators?
Yep.
And you come there, you work for a couple of years because you're dedicated, and then you're gone.
Isn't that how our founders did it?
Yes.
Weren't they part-time?
Well, they didn't need all those administrators. Well, they didn't get into the stuff that wasn't germane to the running the business of the government.
They weren't running your life.
That's right.
Well, they weren't running the world. They were trying just to run the country.
Well, the biggest mistake we ever made was air conditioning the Capitol building. Because if it wasn't air conditioned, they wouldn't stay there in the summer and we could send them home.
All right. They just do their dirty work behind the scenes.
Well, if you think about what was accomplished in the founding of this country without computers, without telephone, without the automobile, the transportation,
mm-hmm.
and what we accomplished as a country mm-hmm. compared to what it takes now. They used to, look how long the Constitution is, and now we have thousands of pages for a bill.
For a single mm-hmm. bill, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example, I got a notice back in August from the IRS that I owed them $200. The reason being they accused me of claiming that my wife and I qualified as senior citizens on a deduction, just standard deduction. And, of course, I sent them evidence that based on our copies of our driver's license about our birth and all that stuff. Okay. Didn't hear anything. And then I got another letter 3 days ago. If you don't pay the $200, we're going to come and put a lien on your property. And then the day after that, I get a letter from somebody else in the IRS said, well, we received your explanation that you submitted in September. It's going to take us another 60 days to resolve it. So there you have two parts of the agency not communicating with each other. They're threatening to take my property. And for $200, I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's these agencies are so big and complex that they can't, they don't, and then you call, try to call them on the phone. They said to me this morning, I called, I said, well, I first called, they said, well, it's going to be 30 to 60 minutes. Then they said, you call back tomorrow. We already have enough calls for today. So So that's the kind of response you get from the federal government. And people want more government agencies? No, thank you.
We're the government, and we're here to help.
Help you.
Yes. That's right.
The most threatening words per Reagan, yeah. Well, I got to tell you, folks, on that, we're going to have to end this session and just go out and call the IRS.
if you want to take a nap, go ahead. You can wait for them to respond.
CCTA wake-up call. You have a wonderful week.